21st chapter of Luke, the first four verses. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "I tell you the truth," he said, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Or as the King James Version says, "she hath put in all the living that she had." Father, we've sensed your presence this morning. We've been worshiping. We've been telling you that we love you. But now we pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit to touch our lips to speak and our ears to hear, to illuminate the word. We don't care particularly about what man thinks, but we want to hear, "Thus saith the Lord." And so we pray that you'll touch us this morning. Come through or in spite of your servant, but we pray that you'll get to each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. I don't know if Dr. Greathouse will have a Palm Sunday theme or not. We're right into Holy Week then. Easter's really upon us. And so I'm kind of jumping over Palm Sunday, and I'm into Holy Week with this message this morning. Just 3 days before Jesus was crucified, he sat in the temple. Mark tells us that he sat over where the offering was being collected. I'm going to talk about giving this morning. It's a Holy Week theme. I make it a point to look the other way when somebody's putting money in the offering. And I always have reserved the right to look at the books, but in 22 years plus pastoring, I never really have checked up on anybody to see what a person gave. I don't do that for several reasons. I like to reserve the right as pastor because I like to have all the books open, but I feel like it's none of my business directly what you give. But Jesus was doing what no pastor or what no church official dares to do. He was sitting there just looking, watching people give. And he made some interesting comments. He made some very interesting comments. Does it surprise you that Jesus is really interested in the offering? Actually, what I'm talking about this morning will be broader than just money. But Jesus is interested in the offering. Jesus watches when we give. And a lot of people that day, it says, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. No comment at that time. Just didn't say anything. And then Jesus saw this poor widow come along, a woman who had every excuse not to give. She could have said, "You know, this temple's being run by a bunch of pious frauds. A bunch of Sadducees don't even believe that there's a future life. And they're just a bunch of politicians. And they passed the priesthood down from within the family, and why should I support a corrupt bunch like that?" But she had faith in the temple, even if she had reason not to have faith in everybody that was in the temple. She also could have said, "I need my money. I can hardly get by on the food stamps I'm getting. And if I just don't give to the temple, maybe it would be easier on me and I'd be less a burden on welfare. Let the Bar Joneses give. Let them carry the load." Or she could have said, "You know, after I've given all that I have and it's there in the treasury, and when they add it up, put a line under and add it all up, they won't be able to tell whether I gave or not. It won't make a particle bit of difference hardly." These are all good reasons or good excuses not to give. And yet she came and she gave anyway. She put in all the living that she had. And this interrupted Jesus' silence as he was sitting there by the treasury watching. He turned around to the others and he commented on this widow woman. And he didn't pity her. He didn't say, hey, get her money out and give it back to her. He commended her. Actually, he didn't commend her to her face either. That's interesting. I can think of a time or two when I made a long trip to a nursing home down in southern New Jersey. And I don't have time to tell you the whole story this morning, except that it was a sad story. And a woman of means had been kind of put away from everybody that she loved and from the church she loved to die in a nursing home. And her mind was keen. But I used to make a pilgrimage down there. It was over 100 miles one way. Go down and pray with her, and I always felt somehow strengthened after I got through praying with her. Her name was Signe Porter. She was a Norwegian immigrant many years before. But you know, very often when I would go down, and I would go down as often as I could possibly afford it, for time and sometimes when I couldn't afford it. But she used to reach under some papers, and she'd get out $2 or $3 and give it to me and say, here, this is for the church. And my initial reaction was to say, no, you need it. She was a woman of means, but here she was without means. And like I said, it was a long story, but you know, that was sacred money. And I took it and I didn't give it back to her. And I put it in my pocket and took it back to the church. And when I put it on the plates on Sunday, I felt somehow that God saw that offering, and it was the biggest offering in the whole church, those $2 or $3. Because God looks upon our heart and he commends the totality, all the living that she had, is what he said. These other people have given off the top, they've given off the surplus, but she's given out of the very heart of her living. If Jesus is watching, if I can paraphrase Francis Schaeffer, how then shall we give? Someone said they saw a bumper sticker someplace that said, if you love Jesus, tithe, anybody can honk. How then shall we give? And I would suggest the Bible tells us that we should give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. Let's just look at it there, if I can find it in this. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. That goes together, doesn't it? So if you give cheerfully and give because you mean to and give because you love to give, it kind of hooks you into God's abundant grace, doesn't it? So we should give cheerfully, knowing that no gift is so small that God won't notice it. Some of you came this morning and you didn't have very much to give, and you haven't made very much, and you're kind of operating on a skinny margin. Goes into the negative sometimes. You say, should I tithe or shouldn't I tithe? Well, the tithe is the floor. Of course you should tithe. And you should tithe cheerfully, because as you put your gifts in with the right spirit, Jesus sees it, Jesus knows it, and Jesus commends it. But smallness isn't the point either here. It's the proportion. Keep that in mind. We should give cheerfully. And then we should also give on purpose. 90% of charitable giving in our nation is given just on whimsy or on impulse, or even worse, it's given on irritation. I've given that way a few times myself. I hate to say it. Ever have a policeman come around to the church office and say, we need some buy some tickets to our policeman's benefit. We have our dependents and policemen's widows and so forth. I don't know how much gets to them, but they just come and come and come, and finally you say, well, here's $10. And you just give to get rid of it. That's not really giving. That's just giving because of irritation. 90% of charitable giving is given on whimsy. It's my opinion, too, when the new changes in the IRS law become apparent. A lot of you haven't done your income tax yet. But there's changes this year. And there's going to be a lot of people that have been giving because of the privilege of taking off the top what they give to the church. And with the new changes, there's going to be people that are going to be tested whether they give for selfish reasons or whether they give for principle. But I suggest that God wants us to give on purpose and give according to a plan. I believe God's word teaches clearly that God's plan is storehouse tithing. And storehouse tithing is the floor. I believe in it. I practice it. And I have never seen anyone yet who began storehouse tithing with a proper attitude that ever quit. Because it just makes you partners to God. Then I would suggest also that we not only give cheerfully and give on purpose, but that we should seek to give ourselves with our gift. It's possible to give money without giving ourselves. But we can't really and truly give ourselves without involving our money. And I believe money is important. And God is going to hold us accountable for the wealth that He's given us the grace to accumulate. Maybe the reason He keeps some of us poor is because He can't trust us with more wealth. Thank God for millionaire Nazarenes that are really dedicated and giving them over to the Lord. Nothing wrong with being rich. Like Paul says, I've been rich and I've been poor. I like being rich better. That's a paraphrase. But our giving has to be beyond just money. And we have to have a willingness to be involved with other people. And it's so easy to write a check and say, here, don't bother me. Let me go on about my business. Here's some money. Here, Lord, here's your tithe. Don't ask me now to give of myself. We need to be reminded again and again that we need to be involved, to care, even in our own families. As I prepared this message, my own heart was smitten about my own immediate family. It was right over here at 12 East Elm Avenue. I can get so busy doing the work of the Lord that I just kind of shake hands with my kids as they go in and out the door. Hi, how you doing? Haven't seen you for a week. Who are you? Oh, yes. Almost. And then wherever we go, wherever God places us, at work or various places of life. You know, God expects us as Christians to be givers. Giving is the heart of our faith. That's what it's all about. And we can't just close in on ourselves and shut the door and say, well, I live with God's people and I live for the church fellowship, but I refuse to have any outreach or anything to do with people who are not of like precious faith. God wants us to be giving in our relationships. I knew a man that worked for General Electric up in Lynn, Mass. He told me that for 4 years, he spoke to a fellow at work. He tried to be a Christian on the job and speak to everybody, and he spoke to one fellow at work near him for 4 years, and the guy just grunted at him for 4 years before the fellow even would speak to him in a decent way. And yet this man said, I kept on saying, hi, how are you? Nice day. And consciously trying to be a Christian to this fellow that was just grunting, you know. You've seen people like that. After 4 years, this fellow finally became friends. To make a long story short, there was a day when there was a big crisis in this other man's family, and he came to our brother and said, would you pray for me? sensed there was something different because of this giving, this outgoing. When we give like this, we share the very nature of God. When we give on purpose, when we ask God to bless our gifts, what we put in these tithe and offerings goes to Africa and China or Taiwan and India and all these places. Our lives, in a sense, are mingled and shared with those who serve. When we give, when we talk, when we say, hi, it's a nice day, but we behind that is the love of Jesus, and we're trying to live out Christ's life. The Holy Spirit gives through us. People can sense the difference. You recall another widow that lived in Zarephath of Zidon? There was a famine, and there had been a famine for some time in the land, and the prophet of God came by, and he had the audacity to say to her, I know you don't have very much. You look awful poor to me. In fact, I can see your bones are sticking out and you're skinny. But that's between the lines. But he said, make me a little cake first. Between the lines. But he said, make me a little cake first. Isn't that audacious? Here's a lady that's, you know what she said? I'm just gathering two sticks so that I can make a fire, so that I can cook something for my son and me, so that we can eat and die. Hopeless. And I don't care what you're doing if there's not giving to God. That's your autobiography too, or your biography. You're gathering some sticks so that you can make a fire, so that you can cook something, so that you can eat, and so you can die. And the prophet said, all right, go ahead. That's fine, but make me a little cake first. God will take care of you. Do you trust me? Do you believe me? And she did. And you know the story how the cruse of oil didn't fail. God took care of her. Put some fat on her bones. Do you believe that giving really makes us partners with God? We can be certain and sure that God sees every gift that's given in faith and love. I want to ask you this morning, what do you feel God would have you to give? As we come to this season of revival effort in our church, what measure of your life, you say, oh, I'm prepared to give $20 to the... I'm not talking just about the money now. I wonder, what are you prepared to invest that God can have his way in our congregation? Are you willing to open your heart and say, Lord, show me. I'm willing to back up, or I'm willing to ask somebody to forgive me. I'm willing to go to the altar. I'm willing to do. What are you willing to give for revival? And without even shifting gears, what are you willing to give in the Thanksgiving offering so that other people can hear about Jesus Christ too? You say, well, I'm planning to give. How about doubling it? How about giving until it's a sacrifice? Do you really believe that giving makes us partners with God? I'm going to read something here and I'll be done. A couple of years ago, I sat in the back during a chapel and Bob Benson was here. Bob Benson from Nashville, Tennessee, and he's written a wonderful little book called Come Share the Being. And in it, it's a prose poem about a bologna sandwich. And I wonder if you'd let me read it for you this morning. It says graphically what I'm trying to say. These words are his. Do you remember when they had old-fashioned Sunday school picnics? It was before air conditioning. They said, we'll meet at Sycamore Lodge in Shelby Park at 4:30 Saturday. You bring your supper, and we'll furnish the tea. But you came home at the last minute, and when you got ready to pack your lunch, all you could find in the refrigerator was one dried up piece of bologna, and just enough mustard in the bottom of the jar so that you got it all over your knuckles trying to get at it. And there were just two stale pieces of bread. So you made your bologna sandwich and wrapped it in some brown bag and went to the picnic. And when it came time to eat, you sat at the end of the table and spread out your sandwich. But the folks next to you, the lady was a good cook, and she'd worked all day, and she had fried chicken and baked beans and potato salad and homemade rolls and sliced tomatoes and pickles and celery and topped it off with two big homemade chocolate pies. And they spread it all out beside you. And there you were with your bologna sandwich. But they said to you, why don't we put it all together? No, I couldn't do that. I just couldn't even think of it, you murmured embarrassedly. Oh, come on. There's plenty of chicken and plenty of pie and plenty of everything. And we just love bologna sandwiches. Let's just put it all together. And so you did. And there you sat, eating like a king, when you came like a pauper. And I get to thinking, still his words, I think of me sharing with God. When I think of how little I bring and how much he brings and that he invites me to share, I know I should be shouting to the housetops, but I am so filled with awe and wonder that I can hardly be heard. I know you don't have enough love or faith or grace or mercy or wisdom. There's just not enough to you. But he has. He has all those things in abundance, and he says, let's just put it all together. The best we have to give isn't too much, nothing to brag about. But if we give, if we learn to give, if we really give, we share God's very being.